我突然底掉。
რადიო თავისუფლება FM 107.4. გამარჯობა, დიდებულებო მსმენელებო. რადიო თავისუფლება განაგრძობს მაუწყებლობას. პრაღის სტუდიაში მიკროფონთან არის ოქროპირ რუხაძე. მოისმინეთ ახალი ამბების გამოშვება. ევროკავშირის საბჭომ დაასრულა საქართველოსთან და მოლდავეთთან ასოცირების შესახებ შეთანხმებების ხელმოწერისთვის ტექნიკური მომზადება. შეთანხმებებს ხელი 27 ივნისს მოეწერება. ევროკავშირის საბჭოს მიერ გავრცელებულ პრეს-რელიზში აღნიშნულია, რომ შეთანხმებების მიზანია ევროკავშირთან პოლიტიკური ასოცირებისა და ეკონომიკური ინტეგრაციის გაღრმავება და ის ორივე პარტნიორთან ღრმა და ყოვლისმომცველი სავაჭრო სივრცის შექმნას შეუწყობს ხელს. დღეს ჟენევაში იხსნება საერთაშორისო დისკუსია 28 რაუნდი, რომელიც იმართება 2008 წლის საქართველო-რუსეთის ომის შემდეგ. ორდღიანი მოლაპარაკება გაგრძელდება მას მერე, რაც მასში ჩაერთვებიან ევროკავშირის გაერთიანებული ერების ორგანიზაციის, ასევე ეუთოს წარმომადგენლები. ისინი თანათავმჯდომარეები არიან. მასში მონაწილეობენ საქართველოს, რუსეთის შეერთებული შტატების, ასევე საქართველოს სეპარატისტული ორი რეგიონის, აფხაზეთისა და სამხრეთ ოსეთის წარმომადგენლები. ამ მოლაპარაკებაში ამჯერად 28 რაუნდში პირველად მონაწილეობს ევროპის კავშირის ახალი საგანგებო წარგზანული სამხრეთ კავკასიასა და საქართველოს კრიზისის საქმეებში ჰერბერტ ზალბერი. საქართველოს პრემიერ-მინისტრის ირაკლი ღარიბაშვილის შეფასებით თვითმმართველობის არჩევნების შედეგები კარგი მაგალითია, რაც მართველ გუნდს შემდგომი არჩევნებისთვის უკეთ მომზადებაში დაეხმარება. ჩვენ დავინახეთ ხარვეზები, რომლებიც მომავალში აუცილებლად უნდა გამოვასწოროთ, მაგრამ მთლიანობაში არჩევნები ჩატარდა ძალიან კარგად, დემოკრატიულად და ეს არის ყველაზე მნიშვნელოვანი, თქვა ღარიბაშვილმა. საქართველოს პრემიერის ინიციატივით წინასაარჩევნოდ გამოცხადებული მორატორიუმი შესაძლოა არჩევნების მეორე ტურამდე გაგრძელდეს. ამის შესახებ ჟურნალისტებს მთავრობის სხდომის დასრულების შემდეგ შინაგან საქმეთა მინისტრმა ჭიკაიძემ აცნობა. თვითმმართველობის არჩევნებამდე გამოცხადებული მორატორიუმი საარჩევნო კომპანიაში უშუალოდ ჩართული პირების სამართლებრივ დევნას შეეხებოდა. მინისტრ დღეს შეკითხვა დაუსვეს მარნეულის საარჩევნო ოლქში მომხდარ ინციდენტზე. ახლა გაგაცნობთ საერთაშორისო ინფორმაციას. ამერიკის შეერთებული შტატების პრეზიდენტმა ბარაკ ობამამ კონგრესს შეატყობინა ბაღდადში შეერთებული შტატების საელჩოს უსაფრთხოების უზრუნველ საყოფად 275 ჯარისკაცის გაგზავნის განზრახვის შესახებ. გადაწყვეტილება მიღებულია ერაყში მიმდინარე შეერაღებული დაპირისპირების ფონზე, როცა ერაყისა და ლევანტის ისლამური სახელმწიფოს სახელით ცნობილმა ჯგუფმა დაიკავა ტერიტორიები ერაყის ჩრდილოეთში და ბაღდადისკენ მიიწევს. ობამას განცხადება შესაბამისობაშია საკანონმდებლო აქტთან, რომელიც ზღუდავს პრეზიდენტს კონგრესთან შეთანხმების გარეშე გაგზავნოს სამხედრო ძალები უცხო ქვეყანაში. ერაყის არმიამ გზა გადაუღობა ერაყის და ლევანტის ისლამურ სახელმწიფოდ წოდებული გაერთიანების შეერაღებულ რაზმებს, რომლებიც ცდილობდნენ ბაღდადისკენ გაჭრას. ერაყის სამთავრობო ჯარის და პოლიციის თანახმად მეამბოხეებმა დაიკავეს ბაღდადიდან 60 კილომეტრში მდებარე ქალაქ ბაქუბის ნაწილი, მაგრამ მალევე ჯარმა ისინი იქიდან განდევნა. ბრიტანეთი აპირებს ირანში თავისი საელჩოს კვლავ გახსნას. ამის თაობაზე საგარეო საქმეთა მინისტრმა უილიამ ჰეიგმა პარლამენტს 17 ივნისს მისწერა წერილი. ჰეიგის თქმით, პრეზიდენტ როჰანის არჩევა მნიშვნელოვანი ნაბიჯი იყო დასავლეთის და თეირანის ურთიერთობის განვითარების საქმეში. ერაყში სუნიტი მეამბოხეების წინსვლამ, ჰეიგის თქმით, დიდი ბიძგი მისცა საელჩოს კვლავ გახსნის შესაძლებლობას. უკრაინა. უკრაინის პირველი ვიცე-პრემიერის ვიტალი იარემას განცხადებით, უკრაინის აღმოსავლეთში ანტიტერორისტული ოპერაციის მიმდინარეობისას 125 უკრაინელი სამხედრო დაიღუპა. მათგან 96 უკრაინის შეარაღებული ძალების მოსამსახურე იყო, 22 შინაგან საქმეთა სამინისტროს თანამშრომელი, აგრეთვე მესაზღვრეები და უშიშროების სამსახურის თანამშრომლები. რუსეთის საგარეო საქმეთა მინისტრი სერგეი ლავროვი ბელგრადშია, სერბიაში. 17 ივნისს ის მოლაპარაკებებს მართავს სერბიის ხელისუფლების წარმომადგენლებთან. ლავროვ შეხვედრების შემდეგ განაცხადა, რომ რუსეთმა და სერბიამ დაადასტურეს მათი ვალდებულება სამხრეთის ნაკადის გახსადენის პროექტისადმი. და ბოლოს კიდევ ერთი ცნობა უცხოეთიდან. პაკისტანის ხელისუფლება 17 ივნისსაც აგრძელებს საჰაერო იერიშებს სულთ ვაზირისტანში მეამბოხეთა საურაუდო სამალავაზე. გუშინ ამ რეგიონში დახოცილთა რიცხვმა 187 მიაღწია.
Welcome to Roots and Branches on VOA Music Mix. I'm Catherine Cole in Washington, and we have got a very dynamic duo visiting from Nashville this week. Two guys with DC ties, Peter Cooper and Eric Brace. As you will learn, not only are these two great singers and songwriters, both have done their time in the trenches as professional journalists. Actually, Peter is still writing for a newspaper. Eric has just finished writing a musical. More about that in a bit. Instead, show us what you're doing now. A song, please.
Cassius Clay was Muhammad Ali. Bill Brown was Lovin' Dan. Donnie Fritz was Funky Donnie Fritz. Funky Donnie Fritz was the Alabama leaning man. James Smith was LL Cool J. Roanoke, Virginia is the Star City. Harold Grange was the Galloping Ghost. Harold Jenkins was Conway Twitty. It is what it is, not how it's gotta be. From my point of obstructive, passing moment is ancient history. Ronald Crosby from New York State was a native Texan named Jerry Jeff Walker. Gene Chandler was the Duke of Earl. Lucille Lucerne was Joe Crawford. George Herman Ruth was Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth was the Sultan of Swat. Ninja Ted was Judo Jim. Dick the champion was Tommy Gelatt. It is what it is, not how it's gotta be. From my point of obstructed view, we are who we are, not who we're gonna be. Every passing moment is ancient history. Irvin Johnson was Magic Johnson. Larry Bird was a French Lick Hick. Richard Starkey was Ringo Starr. Richard Nixon was Tricky Dick. Dick Trickle was a race car driver. Riley Lee was a race car driver. A talented, popular race car driver. Richard Anderson was Agent MacGyver. Frances Gumm was Judy Garland. Sid Bream was Safe at Home.
The secret sauce was Thousand Island. The eighth world wonder was the Astrodome.
Amelia Earhart was an aviatrix. Warren Mahatchik was an angling champ. Frederick Douglass was an abolitionist. He put his face on a 5-cent stamp. It is what it is, not how it's gotta be. From my point of obstructed view, we are who we are, not who we're gonna be. Every passing moment is ancient history.
Before we go any further, where did that come from? Was that just the...
I think it started with Jerry Jeff Walker, didn't it?
Yeah. Somebody was... my friend Todd Snyder is a great singer-songwriter and a huge Jerry Jeff fan, you know, kind of an acolyte. And somebody was trying to turn Todd off of Jerry Jeff Walker by saying, well, you know, he's not even from Texas, your rugged Texas troubadour guy, and his name's not even Jerry Jeff Walker. And Todd went, you mean to tell me that guy is named Ronald Crosby and he's from upstate New York and he just totally transformed himself and became a Texan named Jerry Jeff Walker. And the guy was like, yeah, see? Fraud. And Todd was like, that's my guy. That's my hero.
You can become whatever you want.
Sure, sure. And so I just got to thinking about transformations and how all that happened.
He sent me an email with this list. This is on and on, and all these great things. Like, oh, that's a good one. Oh, that's a good one. And then somehow secret sauce got in there, too.
Because every once in a while, there's one that just doesn't exactly fit the, not a people, a place, or a thing.
There's also a few things in there that you just will not know because you didn't go to Wofford College at the same time that Peter did, or you didn't stumble into the junk shop in New Hampshire where we found stuffed bass on a plaque in Warren Mahatchik's name.
Yeah.
And
or we might argue like the Astrodome.
It used to be called the Eighth World Wonder.
I know.
Yeah.
When it was built in the 60s, they were marketing it as the Eighth World
Wonder. But it's not. It says so right here.
Right. You can say anything you want.
You can say it. I've written myself a few letters of recommendation from time to time. You know, anything.
Just. Right. Well, just like this studio is what? What would we call this?
Brilliant.
Absolutely.
Spectacular.
Spectacular
Best
is the word
ever.
It's a nerve
in the world.
Center. Yes.
In the entire world.
I always love those banners hanging outside random restaurants. Best hamburger in the world, in quotation marks, like somebody said it.
Right.
Oh, I thought it was best that was in quotation marks because sometimes it's far from that.
Well, yeah, sometimes.
Prove me wrong is the answer to all those things. Well, welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Eric was here. We were trying to figure out how many years ago.
Maybe 2006, something like that.
Yeah, a long time. Yeah. But, Peter, you've never been in the studio, so welcome.
He's been
anxious and upset about it for a long time.
Yeah, I know.
Fretful, even.
Yeah. I can tell because you look quite anxious.
Yes.
And fretful.
Yes.
Well, we're going to put you to ease right now. We've got a lot of, I keep hitting this, a lot of stuff to talk about. Your latest CD together, which is called The Comeback Album. But you haven't really been anywhere.
You didn't hear about our onstage altercation?
Oh, man.
Messy breakups?
No, I heard about the Grammy nomination.
Maybe we're coming back from Grammy land.
Yes.
This is our third album. The Comeback Album is the third official duo record that...
It was a while.
And in this mad modern digital age, 3 years between records could be an eternity for those people that sort of keep up on those things.
Yeah.
I'll give you 15 of them.
All 15 of people that care. We did, the first album came out in 2008. You don't have to like them both. And then we had Master Sessions that came out in 2010. And then the next year is when we went into the world of children's music with the Tom T. Hall record called I Love Tom T. Hall's Songs of Fox Hollow. And we were nominated. We were very proudly, happily nominated. And then we...
Did we win?
We did not.
No. It seems that when people don't win the Grammy, they'll go around telling you they were Grammy nominated, but that really means Grammy losing.
Well, it does, but it gives us something to talk about forever.
That's right.
I mean, how many people were not Grammy nominated?
There were a lot of those.
You will always be Grammy nominated.
And to those people, I would like to say, and I think I speak for Eric, in your face.
Those people.
And that, by the way, was Peter Cooper saying that to Eric Brace.
Oh.
But, you mentioned that that's a children's album.
Yeah.
But I will admit that there are a lot of adults that I saw buying that.
Yeah.
Downloading that, singing it in their cars.
Mm-hmm. Tom T. Hall, at the height of his career, when he was known for songs about graveyards and barrooms and things like that, put this album out in 1974, and it was songs for, he said, children of all ages. And it had I Love and I Care and Sneaky Snake, and it turned out adults liked it, too. There are a couple of number one hits off of that album. And so we went actually to his home studio and re-recorded the songs, bringing in Buddy Miller and Dwayne Eddy, Patty Griffin, Jim Lauderdale, Elizabeth Cook, and lots of other friends. And we just had a ball re-recording those. And so it's a kids album that doesn't sound like synthesized blips and blurps. It's real people playing real instruments, and adults can I sing those songs every day.
That's right.
Well, not one of those sickly sweet, everyone that has kids is constantly looking for music that they can like as well.
Tom T. Hall is not one to condescend, and when he's around kids, he doesn't speak to them in the cute little voice. He speaks mm-hmm. to them the same way he would speak to us, and he writes that way too. So it's not silliness and wonder. It's okay. Here's the deal. So it's a good for parents like myself who can be driven screaming from a room with the soundtrack to a 3-year-old's life. This is a little more soothing.
We get so many comments from adults saying what you just said, which is thank you for making a record that I can listen to too and listen to over and over again, because that's what kids do with
right.
music.
You, right.
the, again, one mm-hmm. more time, punch the right. play button.
Sometimes they'll just come up and say, I don't hate that record.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
That's exactly true.
Thanks
and
for
the songs,
something that we can stand. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're lighthearted and sing-alongable, but they also talk about chickens with one leg and pesticides killing birds and death and those things that are serious issues. And it gives kids a way in to maybe kind of heavier discussion topics if they feel like asking their parents, how does a chicken have one leg? You know, mm-hmm. just strange things like that that they might not otherwise bring up, for better or worse. I don't know.
Were you surprised at the reaction that it got? I mean,
it was really heartwarming, actually, because we knew when we were making it how special it was to be in there and in that room with Duane Eddy and, mm-hmm. and Tom T and folks like that all at the same time. And it just felt kind of magical when we were recording it. And then when we were, there's all those stages in making a record. You mix it and you package it and you throw it out there in the world. And we just hoped people would like it as much, that some of that magic would convey, you know, through their car speakers. So I'm not saying we were surprised, but it certainly got bigger than we ever thought it would. We didn't think it would get nominated for a Grammy, but, you know.
Yeah. What we tried to do was, like, hey, let's bring in the greatest musicians in the world to play and sing some of the neatest songs ever written. So I figured people might. If we didn't foul it up, people
yeah,
were going to
part of
enjoy
the production, Peter defined his production method one time as just getting the hell out of the way.
Yeah. Hmm.
And it's kind of how we do all of our records. The songs aren't terribly complicated, and we know some of the greatest musicians in the world, and really, they just want to play music. So you just call them up. People like Lloyd Green on the pedal steel. He's 75, and he's just one of the absolute greatest musicians of all time, not just pedal steel players. And we call him up every record we've made. Hey, Lloyd, you want to come on down to the studio? People like Richard Bennett, the guitarist who's in Mark Knopfler's band, and Dave Rowe, who played bass with Johnny Cash, or Dave Jakes on this one, who plays bass with John Prine, and folks like that. It's just easy to
really
make.
Really popping right now, and all these folks live within 20 minutes of each other, so it's a pretty easy thing to call everybody down on Tuesday morning and just
You make it sound very easy, when in reality the hardest thing is to really take a step back and not get too involved.
It is very easy. As soon as you figure out that the steel guitar lick that you've got in your head for some song is not going to be as good as the one that Lloyd Green's got in his head, you produce with your Rolodex or your phone and call the people that you want to call and let them play the way that they want to play. And that way it just tends to work out.
Okay, let's hear an example of what Peter Cooper's been describing, trusting your judgment when it comes to producing. This song features Eric singing lead from their Grammy-nominated children's record, I Love, Tom T. Hall's Songs of Fox Hollow. The CD is a tribute to country music songwriting legend Tom T. Hall's 1974 album of songs for children of all ages. It features performances by artists including Tom T. Hall, Patty Griffin, Buddy Miller, Duane Eddy, and Bobby Bear. Eric got his DC band Last Train Home back together to sing The Mysterious Fox of Fox Hollow. And you're hearing it on Roots and Branches.
The Mysterious Fox of Fox Hollow. He doesn't have many friends. He hides in the forest behind a big rock, sniffs with his nose in the wind. You'll never see him, there's no need to look. He'll hide in the grass or he'll hide in a bush. Sometimes he will run and jump over a log, for he is afraid of your dog. Whoa.
this fox, the Fox Hollow. He plays with a foxy old bunch. Comes out at night to steal chickens. Someday he might eat your lunch. You'll never see him, there's no need to look. He'll hide in the grass or he'll hide in a bush. Sometimes he will run and jump over the log, for he is afraid of your dog. Fox of Fox Hollow. You ask me how I know, though I never have seen him. One day at the barn, I saw his tracks in the snow. For he is afraid of your dog.
Eric Brace and Last Train Home with The Mysterious Fox of Fox Hollow. That's off I Love, Tom T. Hall's Songs of Fox Hollow, the Grammy-nominated album that Eric produced with Peter Cooper. I'm Catherine Cole. Peter and Eric are visiting with me in the Roots studio. Now, you said you produced this one by Rolodex, bringing in players who were the best at their instruments and then letting them do their jobs instead of directing them every step of the way.
Right.
I mean, you get to a point with writing, too, when you can trust your own self-editor, which you know, not everybody can do that.
Right.
You're smiling.
But I think it's absolutely right, and I think the self-editing thing is great. Peter's great at that. He's also a music writer for the Nashville Tennessean newspaper, and I used to write for the Washington Post about music. I kind of learned on the job. I was lucky that I got to do that. I had the benefit of several very good editors who whipped me into shape. We played recently in Annapolis, and one of my old editors showed up, and she said, "I just want to thank you for putting in clean copy." And I said, "Well, you taught me how to do that, you know, and I learned what not to do." And I think that's, you learn what not to do pretty quickly in a studio, too, because people kind of go, "Oh, what the heck? What'd you get me in here for if you're just telling me what to do?" You're like, okay, you end up trusting your judgment, but maybe only after somebody has questioned your judgment and then said, you know, there's a better way to do this. And then you just have to listen.
Right. And Eric and I are both married, so we have people questioning our judgment every day. You know, we've got practiced up at that.
Now, would you like me to isolate that little bit that you just said so we can send that home with you so
yes,
we know
please.
Who's in charge? I mean, that could get you some extra points
exactly.
At some point.
I'm way down on the scoreboard.
Well, that's
I'm kind of just I'm just kind of going into the slowdown offense.
Slow.
Just kind of trying to run the clock out.
And
just take my defeat.
Marianne already knows. She runs Red Beat Records with me, and by running Red Beat Records, I mean running Red Beat Records. So.
Well, now you both mentioned, I mean, you took the words out of my mouth by mentioning the fact that you started out in other careers. Mm-hmm. You are professional or were, professional writers, journalists.
Mm-hmm.
Yet
esteemed.
Esteemed? Award-winning,
well,
perhaps?
Well, in Peter's case, he just won a feature writing award.
And yet you have turned your backs on that to do something that is a little scary.
Well, I turned my back on it.
Well, you turned your back on a regular union job.
It was, and my parents were very upset that I was about to hand over my health care.
Because
that's the next thing, you know. But Peter, I have to say, he is working at a super high level as a writer at the Tennessean and a musician. I mean, in the last 5 years, we've done 3 duo records, and he's done 3 solo records on top of that. And that's 6 records plus the Tom T. Hall thing, and he's been producing other records and helping people with their books and stuff. He hasn't turned his back on the writing, which is, I think, a pretty cool and a remarkable thing, and I don't know how he does it. I don't think he sleeps. In fact, I think he's a robot.
Yeah.
I can see
I
the key in his neck where you wind him up.
It all seems of a piece to me, and when you're trying to write songs, it does not hurt to sit down with John Prine and Kris Kristofferson and ask them how they do it and get paid to write down what they say.
That's the best part, getting paid to.
Well, the best part to me is the learning, is the being around creative, fascinating people. And that helps the music making, you know, mm-hmm. those conversations and the relationships that you have there. So it's all good for me. It's not like when I have to sit down and interview Guy Clark that's a bummer day or something because I'm going to work at my day job. You know, plus the way the newspaper industry is, it's kind of like, hey, don't quit the folk stuff. Don't quit your folk singing. You need something to fall back on.
Yeah. Well, now, though, is it difficult for you to review projects?
I don't tend to do straight reviews. We're not doing mm-hmm. CD reviews right now at the Tennessean in Nashville where I work. I do offer my perspective on the music scene and mm-hmm. the people who are making music, and it's no more difficult than it is when somebody who has played a sport is in the broadcasting booth. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, it all I can give as a songwriter or as a writer of stories about people is a perspective. That's the only thing of value I can do is, you know, when somebody opens the newspaper, hopefully if they're reading something that I wrote, it's going to be different than if someone else had written it. And same way with writing songs, I'm not competing against Kris Kristofferson for who can write the best song. That would be a silly endeavor. All we can do is write songs that are from our uniquely skewed perspective, our point of obstructed view, and that way you don't have to compete. You're just got a monopoly on your own stuff.
Yeah, one of the last stories that I wrote for the Washington Post was an interview that I did with Rodney Crowell. He was talking very eloquently about how he had to work through his own desire to be Bob Dylan and working in the shadow of Gram Parsons and in their own little ways competing with people like his friends Guy Clark and Townes Van Zandt. I mean, he really wrestled with that. He wanted to be something really big, and then he realized, and then he had those big country hits on
hit after hit,
number ones or something. And I think it kind of scared him. He said, I'm just writing these songs for the man, is how he put it. He said, I realized I needed to write songs from my singular point of view, from my singular perspective. And then that's what he did. He just started writing these incredibly Rodney Crowell songs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just his point of view, and it's a lesson that a lot of songwriters should learn, is that just write, not just write what you know, but write what's only inside your head.
Yeah.
I'm Catherine Cole, visiting this week with Peter Cooper and Eric Brace. More live music and conversation is coming up. You are listening to Roots and Branches on the VOA Music Mix Network. Well, hello again from Washington. I'm Catherine Cole. This is Roots and Branches on VOA Music Mix. Eric Brace and Peter Cooper are my guests in the Roots studio this week. Here is a bit of trivia for you. Not only did both of these guys live here in D.C., they are both journalists in addition to being fine singers and songwriters. Eric actually doesn't write for publications much these days, though he did just finish a musical, which he will tell us about in a bit. First, though, a song. Your choice.
Here's one.
Want to do the title track?
Yes, to the title track from my Opening Day album, which must be called Opening Day. It's the saddest song I've got about hope. The odds are on the odds on favorites. They can kill you with a murderer's roll. They got a young phenom calling home to mom and saying, watch, I'm gonna put on a show. Hit for power, they can steal the base. They got a crafty skipper with a poker face. They're gonna race away with a pennant race. A couple of breaks, we might take fourth place. All's well, it ends well. Around here things don't end well. But we're tied for first with the whole summer left to play. And the fall breaks kind for the lucky ones. Winter comes even to the champions. Keep the aftermath and the epitaph. Give me opening day. I've been coming since before I remember. I've seen the pictures to prove that it's so. The season's design will knock your heart out of line and lay it on you till you're laying low. I have seen more big names than you could name. I've seen a whole lot of dreams when they pull up lame. Sad September, that's a crying shame. Won't you take me out to the new ball game? All's well that ends well. Round here things don't end well. But we're tied for first with the whole summer left to play. And the fall breaks kind for the lucky ones. Winter comes even to the champions. Keep the aftermath and the epitaph. Give me opening day, you know. Like summer in the springtime, like morning in the afternoon. But we're weak up the middle and we're dull at the corners and the dog days that come too soon, too soon. And I guess my father was the first to teach me that my mother never understood that it is not fair and the deal ain't square. All you can do is just to try to make good. You know the players will always change. Mostly the uniforms stay the same. Put your picture in a pretty frame and pass the mustard and share the blame and pass the mustard. All's well that ends well. Round here things don't end well. But we're tied for first with a whole summer left to play. And the fall breaks kind for the lucky ones. Winter comes even to the champions. Keep the aftermath and the epitaph. Give me opening day. Give me opening day. Give me opening day.
Eric Brace and Peter Cooper are visiting in the Roots studio today, and that one's from your most recent solo CD.
Yeah.
Opening Day.
That's
is
right.
The song and the CD, and you've got an adorable video for
Thank
that
you.
One.
Thanks. Yeah, that was starring my son, who was 2 when the video was shot.
The future major league prospect.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
we
right.
can all have our fingers crossed.
Yeah, and folks can see that, I guess, at redbeatrecords.com. And that's like a beat you can eat, the B-E-E-T.
B-E-T-T, yeah.
When you got into this business, did you ever think that you would be a record label?
Mogul.
Mogul, yeah, that's a good word for it.
I wanted to have a record deal for so long,
And now you do.
And now I do. I signed myself. See, I have a band called Last Train Home that started in the Washington D.C. area around 1997, and I was chasing down record deals for years, hoping that somebody would put us out, and it just never happened. So after several years, I just said, "Well, let's do it ourselves." So. That's how we did it. We put out the first few on a label called Adult Swim, which was mm-hmm. the non-punk rock label that was founded by Jeff Nelson, who was the original drummer for Minor Threat, the great punk rock band out of D.C., and he co-owns Discord. He co-founded Discord Records. So I just love that the great punk rock label spun off and put out some Last Train Home records, and I thought that must give us some cred with the kids.
Sure. Oh, the kids love you.
Yeah. And then Red Beat Records was just when we moved to Nashville, my wife and I, around 2004, well, we just said, well, let's start a label. So we did. And we put out a few compilations of East Nashville music, because that was the thing that bowled us over as soon as we got there, was how much great talent was just sitting in the coffee shops. And we put out three compilations of East Nashville music already, and we put out all three of Peter's records and some Last Train Home stuff and our duo records. And it's fun. You know, we just, as long as we can cover our costs, you know, we just work out of our garage. So it's a great and not that difficult thing to do. We have an assistant, Lindsay Hayes, who is pretty awesome at running the day-to-day, and we're lucky.
Now, Eric just mentioned that Peter's solo record came out on his label. You heard the title track a couple of minutes ago. There are two great covers on the disc. One just happens to be of a song that I think is almost perfect. Now, I know I waxed poetic about Birches a couple of years ago when Bill Morrissey, the guy who wrote and originally recorded it, died. I was just reading about an upcoming Bill Morrissey tribute album that's in the works. I can't imagine a better cover of Birches than this one by Peter Cooper. You can find it on his opening day CD.
They sat at each end of the couch, watched as the fire burned down so quiet. On this winter night, not a house light on for miles around. And he said, I think I'll fill the stove, it's getting time for bed. She looked up, I think I'll have some wine, how about you, she asked. And he declined, and Warren, she said, maybe just for tonight, let's fill the stove with birches. And watch as the fire burns bright, how long's it been? I know it's quite a while. Pour yourself half a glass. Stay with me a little while. And Warren, he shook his head, as if she made some kind of joke. Birches on a winter night. No, we'll fill the stove with oak, and oak will burn as long and hot as a July afternoon. Birch will burn itself out by the rising of the moon. And you hate a cold house, same as me. Am I right or not? All right, that's true, she said. It was just a thought, she said. Warren, you do look tired. Maybe you should go up to bed. I'll look after the fire tonight. Oak, he told her. Oak, she said. Footsteps as he climbed up the stairs. She pulled a sweater on her, set her wine glass on a chair, and she walked down cellar to the wood box. It was cold as an ice chest, and climbed back up with four logs, each as white as a wedding dress. And she filled the stove, and she poured the wine, and then she sat down on the floor. She curled her legs beneath her as the fire sprang to life once more. And it filled the room with a hungry light, and it cracked as it drew air, and the shadows danced a jittery waltz like no one else was there. And she stood up in the heat, she twirled around the room, and the shadows, they saw nothing but a young girl on her honeymoon. And she knew the time, it would be short, the fire would start to fade. She thought of heat, she thought of time, she called it an even trade.
Peter Cooper on Roots and Branches, singing Bill Morrissey's Birches. You can find that on opening day. Peter is my guest in the Roots studio this week, along with Eric Brace. Eric, you moved from D.C. to Nashville a couple of years ago to do the music thing.
Yes.
How'd you get to Nashville?
And
don't say you turned left, right. Don't do it.
I was writing for a newspaper in South Carolina, and a job came open to write about music for the Tennessean. I had wanted to come to Nashville. It's a marvelous place. First time I ever came just on a visit, walked into Groon Guitar Shop, and there was John Hartford playing a banjo. I thought, okay, that's the first person I saw in Nashville. This is a good sign that this is a good place for me. So the gig came open at the Tennessean, and I sent them some clips, and they asked if I would like to come to Nashville, and I said, yes, I would indeed.
Were you already playing music?
Yeah, I was playing music. When I got to Nashville, I didn't play much music. I would do the Bluebird Cafe every 6 months or something like that. But my friend Todd Snyder asked me to open some shows for him on the road around 2005. And I said, well, that sounds like a lot of fun. You're going to Wisconsin. Yeah, I love Wisconsin. And then he said, well, if you're going to play these shows, you need to have something to sell, or you're going to lose your shirt. Mm-hmm. And so I hastily went into a recording studio, and Todd just really encouraged me to get out there and do that. And I found that with a laptop computer, I can write stories from the road. And I figured out that these are things that can coexist. So I really thanks to Todd for a lot of encouragement and help and showing me how to do it.
Now, what about this part of your job? Is it different or difficult to be on the other side of the microphone?
No, it's a conversation either way. That's the way you interview people is talk to them, not at them, and listen to what they say. And so it's the same way you do when you're on the other side of that mic.
I'm sorry, what?
I have asked that question to people who authors who have said, I don't like talking about myself. I don't mind asking the questions.
Well, that's where they're
but
different
I don't
from us.
Like.
We love us.
You can't shut us up.
And speaking for all of me's, everybody like me, we love that. So just please, any guest that likes talking about themselves is always welcome to come in.
It's a strange. What I will say is that when I was interviewing people, I sometimes made it too much of a conversation and spent too much time just yammering on and instead of just listening to their answers. And, you know, there's that interview trick where you don't say anything so that the interviewee will keep talking. I never learned that trick. I just kind of barreled over. Oh, there you are. You're being quiet. You're using it. You're a total pro.
I think we've been watching the clock I'm eating the microphone like you suggested. I think we could get one more song in.
All right.
Great.
We'll do that.
What shall we do?
Let's do Wait a Minute.
Okay.
We recorded this song. It's a Herb Peterson song from 1971 that I'm sure a lot of your listeners know. We both spent, Peter and I both spent a lot of time in our high school days going to the Birchmere Club in Alexandria. We're 10 years apart, so I was there in the 70s listening to the original Seldom Seen lineup with people like John Starling, Ben Eldridge, Tom Gray, John Duffy, and Mike Aldridge. And over the years, we got to know Mike pretty well. I recorded an album called The Skylighters with him and Jimmy Gaudreau. And then Peter and I went into the studio with Mike on Dobro and Lloyd Green on pedal steel. And we called that Master Sessions because those are two of the absolute masters on their instruments. And we were thinking about songs to do for that record. And Peter and I had already bonded over listening to tons of Seldom Seen and had been singing that song live now and then. But we asked
Mike permission. It was kind of their greatest hit. They would play it every Thursday at the Birchmere. And yeah, we asked Mike if we could do it, and he said, yeah, sure. And he wound up loving the version and getting to split a solo with his hero Lloyd Green. So yeah. I was really glad that those folks came together for us and for these songs. And so this is a song that for both of us makes us remember being high schoolers and staring up at the Seldom Seen at the old Birchmere, and also roots us every night when we're on the road.
And it makes us remember Mike Aldridge, who died in December of 2012. And that's a great thing to keep in our head. 2, 3, 4.
Wait a minute. Did I hear you say you're going far away again? Try to change it. I can't take the lonely nights without your love. Doing the road, get the music done, and move along. What good does it do? Play a song from her and hear her say, take the lonely nights without your love.
You're rolling along, and life's been good to you. And even so, she comes to you late at night is the time you hear her say, once again.
Wait a minute. Did I hear you say you're going far away again? Try to change it. I can't take the lonely nights without your love. Without a rest, I gotta hold on. 25 to go, and once again I hear you say, hey, yeah. Wait a minute, did I hear you say you're going far? Can't take the lonely nights without your love.
Eric Brace and Peter Cooper are in talking about their most recent CD, the comeback album. Now, people can find you doing Stage It shows every once
That's
in a while.
That's true.
Also,
there's a great internet site.
Those are really fun. StageIt.com. We do shows right from the Red Beat Records headquarters, and they're beamed out over the interweb. So it's
good thing
a fun
about that
thing.
Is that they're not archived, so we can just say and do whatever we want, and then it's gone.
Well, it's remarkable. I talked to Evan Lowenstein, months before it started, when he was still trying to get the money to go. And I kept thinking, what a great idea.
What a great idea.
What a great idea this is going to be. Yep. And he was hoping, fingers crossed, he was still waiting to get, final funding, but he was sure that it was going to happen.
Because it was the kind of site every musician hopes for. And he designed it from the point of view of the musician and the potential audience. He was really smart, and it makes it really easy for you to sign up and watch. It makes musicians, gives them a really easy way to get out there and show new material or old material.
Yeah.
It's just
And the fact that you can do a show from anywhere. I mean, if you wanted to do one from France, all you'd have to do is figure out what time it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Really,
yeah,
and
it's
do
all
it.
Time zone problems. But yeah, if you have a laptop with a little camera on it, you can do anything.
And then what's next? Are you writing more songs for another project?
All the time.
And songs are being written. Peter's got the new opening day album. I've got a musical about the California Gold Rush coming out that's a whole other story. But that's got people like Kelly Willis and Daryl Scott and Tim O'Brien on it. And Peter and I are both on there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And
well, I hope you'll come back and talk about that
when
it's done.
Love to.
Fabulous. Well, come back sometime soon.
Thanks.
What a pleasure to be here.
Was a secret that she kept a long time. She didn't take it to her grave. There was a trip she took to Pensacola when she was young and didn't have to behave. There was a man that she had long admired. There was something about his rugged good looks. She liked to watch him on the small screen and read about him in the comic books. She said it was the heat of the moment. She said it was the blush of youth. She said it was the smell of the sea air and the taste of the gin and the dry vermouth. She said it took about an hour, a couple inches of black and blue. Grandma's Batman tattoo. Close to her heart, a private work of art, underneath the wool and the flannel. Nobody could have guessed, there upon her chest, same bad time, same bad channel. Holy Toledo, something to see, but she always kept it hidden from view. Grandma's Batman tattoo. Grandma was a real good grandma. Grandma was a real good wife. She lived to stay at home, turned the stories on, squash casserole kind of a life. Grandma didn't stir up trouble, Grandma just stirred the stew. She didn't like to fly, she never told a lie, and she never made a hullabaloo. But there were nights she lay awake and wondered, how come it turned out this way? What happened to the girl on the telltale whirl by the beach that summer day? Sometimes she would look in the mirror. Sometimes she would stop and stare at herself and her favorite picture, both looking kind of worse for wear. Close to her heart, a private work of art, underneath the wool and the flannel. Nobody ever guessed, there upon her chest, same bad time, same bad channel. Holy Toledo, something to see, but she always kept it hidden from view. Grandma's Batman tattoo. It was a secret that she kept a long time. She didn't take it to her grave. There was a family trip to New Orleans when she was old and didn't want to behave. Grandpa had been gone for one hard year. We thought that maybe it would cheer her up to take Grandma to the Mardi Gras and let her walk canal with a go cup. Time has not erased the memory. I'm hoping one day it recedes. She said it was the heat of the moment. Said she really wanted some beads. It was the moment that we all discovered what just the doctor and grandpa knew. Grandma's Batman tattoo. Oh, Grandma's Batman tattoo.
Lest you think all folk singers are serious all the time, there is Peter Cooper's story about Grandma's tattoo, kept carefully hidden away from everyone but her husband and her doctor, until the day she decided to share it with the world. Eric Brace's musical, Hangtown Dance Hall, is going to have its debut in D.C. in just a couple of months. I hope to have him back to talk about that and share some songs, too. If you can't wait that long, head on over to redbeatrecords.com to get a preview, and that is Beat Like You Can Eat. Enjoyed the program this week and my visit with Eric and Peter. I look forward to your comments. The email address is roots@voa.gov. That is roots@voa.gov. I'm Catherine Cole. This is Roots and Branches on the VOA Music Mix Network.
Radio თავისუფლება FM 107.4.
არამხოლოდ თქვენ უსმენთ რადიო თავისუფლებას, არამედ ისიც გისმენთ თქვენ და გულისყურით ეკიდება თქვენს გამოხმაურებებს. თქვენს მოსაზრებებსა და წინადადებებზე საუბარი გვაქვს ყოველკვირეულ პროგრამაში თავისუფლება გისმენთ, რომელიც კვირაობით გადის ეთერში. თავისუფლება გისმენთ.